I've got a lovely sermon to preach, I think, today. The theme was friendship, fellowship, and sharing. Well, that sounds good. Yeah, I like that. Then I sort of looked up online. Do you know that 20% of people asked about loneliness said that they felt lonely most of the time or all of the time? To me, that just seems extraordinary. 20% of the UK feel like that. Lonely most or all of the time. Seemingly, loneliness is really bad for us. It changes how we feel and think. We can even misread the intentions of others when we're really lonely. And we're more prone to feeling criticized or even threatened, which actually then makes loneliness even more likely. It's like a cycle. Being lonely sort of separates you from other people even when they try to be friendly. I was really astonished. I asked Jenny what she thought. She wasn't at all astonished. She thought that actually that is true for a lot of people. Today, we're looking at the next passage from 1 Thessalonians, a letter from Paul that indicates just how deeply he felt about this church. And he gives us some good tips on how to live out friendships within the context of our faith. Friendships that are to do with fellowship. Friendships that are supportive and prayerful. That are practical, that are inspiring. Friendships that are mutually beneficial. So I want to start by reading. It's a wee bit small. I'll be reading it anyway. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Then on to chapter 3. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. So, in our previous talks about Thessalonians, Paul and company had to make a really swift exit from Thessalonica due to the persecution. And what Paul says here, he felt like that they were orphaned. They'd been separated from the children. And he longed to be back with them again and make sure they were okay. And he just plain missed them by the looks of it, doesn't he? I mean, he really seemed to miss the Thessalonians. And I think that is good and natural. I think we can all feel that way about our Christian friends, can't we? People that we've formed a real bond with, people that gave us special insights and helped us to make more sense of the world and more sense of our faith as well. We've all had people in our lives like that. And of course, by the very nature of life, particularly in the modern world, we're going to lose some from time to time. They may move away, their work may take them elsewhere. They may change to a different church and be called to mission. Or of course, they can just die. So we sometimes lose our special friends, just as Paul felt that he'd lost his friends at Thessalonica. It's vital that we nurture our friendships widely within the church. A few months ago, Peter preached a sermon about hospitality. And I think that was really good reminder to us all that we each need to be taking on board a sense of our own responsibility to be hospitable to others in whatever way we feel is right for us. There is a really special thing about meeting in each other's homes, about eating together, fellowshipping together. These are really great things, things that can be life-changing. I don't know if any of you met my sister's friend who is here, who's going through a really troubled time. She was here at Christmas. She went to church with my sister. It happened to be the church that my in-laws went to. And she was absolutely blown away by the fact that the very first time those people met her, they invited her back for dinner. She was like, what? Just right now? Like, yeah, come for dinner. That's the sort of people they are. They are a bit brilliant at that, I have to say. Don't think we can all meet their standards. I was blown away by them as well, I have to say. Not just by their daughter. But we kind of need to take the initiative. Not just waiting for things to get organized, like dine, but actually, you know, let's invite each other round. Doesn't have to be anything special. The company's special, isn't it? Just having the time together. And then when we do, probably people will return the favor. It'll kind of snowball. So Paul was really concerned about this new church in Thessalonica, and he took action. He knew that he couldn't go there himself. We don't quite know why that was, but there was something that was preventing him. So he sent his lovely friend Timothy. Yay! We need to be like that too. We've got to find a way of doing it. You know, sometimes we've got to think a little bit outside the box. He sent Timothy. Sometimes we hear folk that feel a bit lonely. So we need to be like Paul and just take action. If you're not seeing other people, just give others an invitation. And it doesn't even have to be your home. You could always meet up at a cafe, couldn't you? Let's get together with our Christian friends and support one another. What would we talk about? Well, we could talk about last week's sermon. We could. It's easy to even find it. Look. westkirbyurc.org.uk/talks. You don't have to remember that. You can just type in West Kirby URC talks into Google and it finds it for you. It's really good. That's what why I knew what Louise said a couple of weeks ago when I wasn't here, because you can just look it up and listen to it. Or you could always ask the preacher for the notes. I could print them out, I suppose. It's really important, I think, that also we make sure that our friendships are not just with the people that are the same age as us. Cross-generational friendships are really important. You know, we older folks, we've got a bit to share, but actually we've got to learn as well. Because there's so much that's good about being friends with very different people. Having older or younger friends can be such a joy, sharing all the different ways of being a Christian, because actually there are a lot of different ways, and it's good to be able to understand each other in our own personal contexts. So, Paul took action. He sent Timothy. Let's read the second part of this passage, which is 3:6-13. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy you have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Well, that sounded pretty successful. Good old Timothy came back with a great report, didn't he? Boy, was Paul happy. Yay. He was absolutely delighted because these people were strong in the faith and it bolstered him. You know, none of us are islands, are we? You know, Paul needed that encouragement. We all need that encouragement. And that's why we have to have all these friendships, to bring us the joy of the Lord into our lives. And prayer was also at the core of this for Paul. So it should be for us too. But we can only really pray meaningfully for each other if we actually know each other. It does help quite a bit. I know that there have been quite a few people down the years who have prayed for me. They are mostly people, actually, who I've lost touch with in the end. But at the time, they knew that their job was to be partners with God in bringing change and renewal into my life. And I hope in turn I have done some of that for others as well. I hope that in knowing me or knowing Jenny and myself, we've inspired others at different times in our lives. We can only do that if we know folks and if we're inspired by God's Holy Spirit. But I hope over the years we've each done some of that. I'm sure we have, to be honest. So Paul was quite evidently absolutely delighted by the news brought by Timothy. And there's a real place for us to take delight in one another, of course. I find delight in seeing what we're all doing. Each one of us is doing something here for the Lord, and it's terrific. It's fantastic. I'm stunned by what we managed to achieve together under the Lord's hand of grace. And I see wonderful little things like Annabelle in her quest to find God's truth for herself. I feel really excited about that. It's so lovely. And I look at Dan. Yeah, that was him. And recognize how God has worked in him to take him from that more or less teenager when you first arrived, Dan, to who you are now. And now, I'm learning in the opposite direction. I'm picking up things from Dan. And that's how it should be. It should be a two-way street discipleship, shouldn't it? I look at the faithful toddler group every week, setting up, meeting all these folks. And I realize that week by week, we, the church, through the toddler group, are showing God's love to all these people. I mean, there was at least 50 adults at Toddlers for Dads yesterday. Never mind the number of people that were there on Friday. You know, people like Cara, who you mentioned in your first talk, Louise, they call this their church because they came here with their kids and they felt loved and accepted. That's fantastic. How many people are out there in West Kirby that actually think like that? I think there's actually quite a lot. And it's the friendships, it's the acceptance, it's the being willing to put ourselves out for folks that does that. And I'm really proud to be part of a toddler group now. It's a joy to see, 10 days ago, lots of mums and dads and grannies turn up for the toddler cleaning day. That was where all the toys were cleaned. And so the team turned up, and then suddenly there was this huge group of people. Yeah, it was their toddler group. They were coming to their church to clean the toys for their children. That's fab. It was doubled the size of the team easily. What would Paul say to us? It's a pretty tricky one to answer because he was a bit picky at times. And let's face it, we are not perfect. But perhaps he would tell us to do what we're doing and maybe just undergird it with a bit more prayer. He would say, keep on keeping on. Because we are a community of faith. We just need to continue to build our friendships, our fellowships together, and to pray for each other more. We need to take responsibility for praying for each other and for the growth of our church. That might mean being a little bit more organized. Certainly, I need to be a bit more organized. I think retirement has kind of thrown my structure of prayer life out a bit. It's not quite what it was. But I'm trying. Are we all? Are we all trying to remember to be praying for each other? I do love the time that we spend together as the elders once a month. One evening we spend together praying. Sometimes I kind of feel that can be the most productive part of our elder duty. Feels really good to be praying for the folks within the church. Everyone needs fellowship and friendship. Some people need it more than others. That's fair enough. We're all different. But we need to share our lives so we can each benefit from the insights that we each have, that we can benefit from the faith shared together and built up together. And that's what Paul was worried about. He was really worried that their faith might fail because he wasn't there. And he was absolutely jubilant to find that their faith had not failed. And it built him up. That is how it should be. Like Paul and Timothy, we have to take action. We can't expect others to always be the solution that suits us. Paul was really concerned about his new friends, but he didn't just wait for somebody to turn up. He sent Timothy. And he wrote some great letters as well. It's good, this, isn't it? So I want to conclude before Jimmy comes to lead us in prayer. What can we take from this joyous passage? First of all, our friendships are really important. They're precious. We need our friendships within the congregation of faith. We need to value them. We need to see how vital they are. And we need to take action to sustain them so that we build each other up together. Because fellowship builds us up, whereas loneliness damages us. So let's make the time to spend with others, one way or another. Have fellowship together. Build one another up so that we're better equipped to be God's people, so that we can use our God-given gifts to work together, to share in the common goals and tasks for the benefit of our church, our fellowship, but also our community beyond, our workplace and school or whatever. In doing so, it will be a benefit to each one of us too. That is the great thing. It works always. Let's have a moment of prayer before Jimmy comes to lead us. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've provided for us, for the friendships, for the love, for the enabling power that comes from sharing together under your Holy Spirit. Use us, we pray, to bless one another so that we may be strengthened and built up together in faith. In Jesus' name we pray.